Okay, we're going to get started here now. ServiceNL and Government Purchasing Agency. And before we start, I would like to have the Government Services Committee introduce themselves and their colleagues.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Parsons from the beautiful district of Cape St. Francis.
Megan Drudge, researcher with the Official Opposition Caucus.
Neil King from the historic district of Bonavista.
Ivan Morgan, researcher, NDP Caucus.
John Finn, MHA, Stephenville, Port au Port.
Betty Parsley from the beautiful district of Harbor, Maine.
Carol Ann Haley, MHA, Buren, Grand Bank.
Okay, I would ask the minister to introduce his staff, and just to point out that once you, if you access your staff, that they please say their names before addressing any questions.
Eddie Joyce, MHA, Bay of Islands.
I'm Lee Puttister, and the Deputy Minister for ServiceNL and for Procurement Reform.
Donna Kelland, ADM for Government Services Branch, ServiceNL.
Julian McCarthy, ADM, Consumer and Commercial Affairs, ServiceNL.
Marlene Hickey, Chief Review Commissioner for the Workplace Health, Safety and Compensation Review Division.
Patricia Hearn, Chief Operating Officer for the Government Purchasing Agency.
Robin Hayes, Departmental Controller, ServiceNL and the Government Purchasing Agency.
Graham Little, Parliamentary Secretary, ServiceNL.
Jason Card, Director of Communications.
Sherilyn Dorga, EA for the Honorable Eddie.
Okay. Okay. I think what we're going to do is we're not going to stop the clock. We're just going to carry right on through with any questions, and we're going to start off with government purchasing. But first of all, I'd like to have a motion to adopt the minutes from the last meeting. Okay. Carried. Okay, I open the floor to Government Service Committee. The minister would like to make some opening remarks prior to...
I just got a few prepared statements here. Subheads.
Okay.
1.1.01. Okay. Good evening. As Minister of ServiceNL and Minister of the Government Purchasing Agency, I'm pleased to appear before you to discuss the estimates figures for these entities. I want to take this opportunity to thank the members opposite and their staff for joining us. I also want to thank staff from ServiceNL, the Government Purchasing Agency, and also the Workplace NL Review Division for their preparation for today's session and also for their hard work and dedication that they have shown over a number of years. And when I was on the opposite side, same the member from Cape St. Francis, I always recognized the hard work and dedication of the people in these departments because they do a lot of work for the people of Newfoundland and Labrador. ServiceNL is responsible for the majority of licensing, inspection, public record keeping, and regulatory functions within the government, and is the primary access point for people who need these services. ServiceNL undertakes hundreds of thousands of transactions each year. These range from electrical inspections to restaurant inspections to the production of vital statistic records and the registration of deeds. Within the Motor Registration Division, ServiceNL completes more than a million transactions per year. The authority to carry out the department's mandate comes from more than 180 statutes and regulations, as well as standards and codes of practice. In addition to the Office of the Queen's Printer, the department provides printing services for the provincial government and the general public. The Workplace NL Review Division reviews the decisions of Workplace NL to ensure compliance with the Act, as well as regulations and policies. The division provides vital appeal services to employers and workers and pursues continuous improvements in the area of client service. The Government Purchasing Agency is the central procurement unit of the Government of Newfoundland and Labrador. It is, responsible for managing the procurement process for goods and services on behalf of all government departments. The agency processes and oversees in excess of 19,000 procurement transactions annually, including 500 public tenders, which in total are valued at approximately $250 million. Clearly, there is a significant amount of work undertaken in the areas I have mentioned. I also want to make sure we make the most of our time in this estimates session. I will now turn over to the chair. And Mr. Chair, just for the record, when we're complete, we have a copy of the book for the members opposite, and also for the NDP if they want a copy of our estimates here.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I look at ServiceNL, and when I first got elected, people always ask me, say, what do they do? And I basically say, you know what? They got you from the time you're born to the time you die and everything in between, and that's basically what your department does. And, you know, people in the province don't realize some of the things that you do, but I really do appreciate the work that goes on in your department, and I got to say it's one of the best departments to have any inquiries about or whatever. The response is always good, so I thank you for that. Minister, I got a couple of general questions that I'd like to ask first, and then we'll go into the line-by-line stuff. But are there any plans to bring in and pass the new public tendering legislation?
Yes, there is. It's the Procurement Act. We're in the process, and we had many meetings on it. And in actual fact, we've got meetings again this week on it. We are hoping to bring it in maybe even this session. I know the previous government, which you were part of, did a lot of work with it. It wasn't brought in, so we are hoping to have it ready and possibly brought in this spring session of the legislature.
Okay. I believe there's a lot of people waiting for it and get the new legislation in place so that, you know, it's a more open and transparent, as we all talk about every day. Yeah. Okay, that's good. And a general question, you know, I know... I'm just wondering, what agencies are you responsible for? Can you name I know it's a general question, but...
ServiceNL, where I'm Miss Provincial Affairs Ministries, Workers' Compensation.
Yeah. But I'm talking more or less about the Government Purchasing Agency. So what are you responsible, like, for municipalities or... name off, like, you know, I really don't think people understand what... Any agency within government, except how
GBA is it? Just false. GBA is all government agencies.
And we do the day-to-day purchasing for departments.
Yeah. It's all government agencies because GBA does all the purchasing for all the departments in government.
Even municipalities? Do you fall under municipalities?
Well, it's under the Act. And then what we're doing now under the procurement, municipalities will have to follow under that also, yes.
So they'll follow the same policy?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, I'm just going to go into line-for-line items there now.
No, I may get the officials to answer to make sure you got the right answer.
Listen, if, you know, I don't... Anybody
we got all the answers, so just no to be sure they can explain it, just ensure they'll be going
depth. No problem whatsoever. Yeah. Okay, I know on the first one there, the salaries, and I'll just ask you to explain what's happening there on that line, because there's what's revised and what was actually budgeted, and then again this year, what the difference is.
Go ahead.
Lee Puddister. Yes, so you'll see, first of all, that in the revised compared to the original budget, there was an underspend of about $750,000 or so. That was a combination of factors. We had a number of vacancies at the agency, and as well, we had a higher turnover than, I guess, usual, and the timing associated with filling those turnovers would have contributed to it. So the vacancies were a combination. We have been anticipating the new act and had done some planning work around what positions would be needed to support the introduction of that act. So some of those vacancies were a result of the timing delays with the new legislation coming forward. And then others were just some positions that had been held vacant or and some movements internally.
So looking at budgeted and estimated this year, so how many vacancies are not going to be filled? Because there is a difference between what's budgeted and I know what's there now this year.
Right. So we have about of the 228,000 or so that you're seeing compared to last year, the reduction. There's about 84,000 of that is relating to two positions that are not going to be filled, and those relate to the implementation of the P card, the purchasing card for government. So those are two buyer positions which we feel won't need to be filled. They're vacant right now, so they're not. There's no positions being impacted. And then there's another approximately $146,000 that are related to timing issues associated with the new act, plus some ongoing vacancies. So I can't give you a precise number related to the new act.
Okay, no, I was just wondering what the difference between two. That's good.
Yeah.
So how about attrition? Is there any true attrition also? Would that be?
Yeah, we in 2000 and last year, 15-16, there was one position that was removed due to attrition.
Okay.
And we have one other one, Patricia, for this coming year. Yes, yeah, so we have one position as well for the upcoming year. That hasn't been identified yet. The savings have been removed, but the actual position we will have to see as the year goes on which position makes sense to remove.
Okay, thank you very much. Transportation and communications line. Now, last year it was only 28,000 spent, but yet 70,000 was budgeted, and we're going to 40. Just give me a brief explanation of that line, too, please.
So, again, a lot of that had to do with the planned timing of the new legislation. As part of that legislation, GPA has got a fairly large training requirement to let public agents or public bodies, municipalities, ABCs, government departments, help them understand the new act, but as well the supplier community. So there was a substantial amount of training and travel related to that training that we were anticipating having to do with the new act. Obviously, with the timing of that legislation, that's now moved forward into the upcoming year. And you're seeing a reduction year over year, though part of that as well is due to just the ongoing efforts to try and reduce expenditures to deal with the fiscal situation.
Okay. Under professional services, 25 and 24 this year yet, but 150 was spent last year, so an increase of 125,000. Was that to do with the new legislation or...?
A portion of it was approximately 40,000 had to do with was consulting fees relating to the development of the legislation. The rest of it, though, was consulting fees related to a review of our infrastructure procurement processes across government. So we employed a consultant to help us assess the way we're doing infrastructure procurement to see if there were improvements that could be identified to help save money, make the process more efficient.
Okay. Is that something that's going to be made public to the, to whatever the consultant came up with and found what the, you know, is that something that we're going to see or?
Yeah, I would assume at the end of
Is it part of the legislation, the new legislation coming?
No, that was not specific to the new legislation. It was to deal with the way in which we're dealing with infrastructure procurement right now. So the terms and conditions associated with the contracts, obviously there are a large number of infrastructure-related procurements that go forward in every year and worth substantial dollars. So we were doing things like reviewing the terms and conditions that are employed, looking at the language that would be included within RFPs to try and ensure we're getting best value in those contracts.
Okay. I just want to go to the, and I'll do this to you all night, Lana, sorry, but I want you to explain to me the revenue line and where the revenue is coming from.
Okay.
And how we generate it.
Yeah, so most of GPA's revenue comes from the proceeds of auctions of surplus government assets. So if departments have finished with any assets that they may have, office furniture, vehicles, things like that, they are sent out to auction. And so we get a portion of the proceeds from those auctions. Obviously, the timing of how much, how many surplus assets we're going to have, when they're going to be sold, what we get for them varies from year to year. So it makes it very difficult to predict an amount in any given year. You'll see that last year we did have a fair amount less than we had budgeted, and that was primarily just due to the delay of or a lack of auctions in general.
Okay. Actually, that's about it now for government purchasing, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
Just a note, I know Patricia's here and with the procurement, and I just want to acknowledge her expertise as she's bringing this forward. I know with the previous administration that she worked very diligently. She's very knowledgeable in the field, and she feels very strongly that when this act is brought in, it's going to be better for all of Newfoundland and Labrador. I just want to recognize that the work that she's done on this and the commitment that she's made to bring this forward for all people of Newfoundland and Labrador and all entities, because it will make it better and will help government save money and help a lot of entities. So, Patricia, thank you very much.
Yep. Hopefully we'll see the new legislation this session.
Huh?
Hopefully we'll see the new legislation this session.
Hopefully too, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Call for updates. So 1.1.01 carried. Carried.
The total?
So the total carried. Carried. Shall I report government purchasing without amendment? Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Now we shall move on to Service Newfoundland and Labrador. Yeah. And again, we won't bother with the clock. And Minister, if you had any opening statements on this?
No, I'm fine. As I mentioned my opening statements earlier, this is a very vast department. There's a lot of regulations in the department, a lot of regulations, and a lot of people who keep the residents of Newfoundland and Labrador safe and ensure that all the safety standards are met. And so I just want to recognize the hard work and dedication that they have done and still are doing over the years. And now as the minister, I just want to just echo that again. I'm sure the minister, the member from Cape St. Francis would agree that they do a lot of hard work. And there's always a lot of way to improve it, and hopefully that's what we're looking for in a lot of ways in service and now how to improve services to people. So I'll just open up the floor.
Yep.
Okay, Chair. Will the clerk please call the first update?
1.1.01.
Chair, 1.1.01. Carried.
Okay, thank you. Minister, we were given some handouts showing the budget about different increases in fees and stuff like that. I'm sure you got it there in front of you. Mm-hmm. Have you know, because I just want to go to the first. I just want to go to some. I'll ask you general questions. I just want to know how much revenue is going to be generated, and a lot of it, if you don't mind.
Let me find.
And I'll just pick a couple. I'm not going to pick too many.
Yeah. The exact amount.
Pension, and I want you to explain this one to me and how it works. The pension plan regulation fees. Can you just give me a description of, and how much revenue is going to generate?
Julian McCarthy. Yeah. So we're responsible for the regulation of pension plans in the province, so both private and public pension plans. So every employer that has a pension plan must be registered with the Pension Benefit Standards Division. And as part of that, there's a fee to file their pension plan and have that approved with the division. And each year, there's an annual information return, which provides a bunch of statistics on the pension plan and reporting information. And there's a fee for to file that information each year. And we're increasing that fee. And the increases, do you have the increase there, Lee?
New fee of $5. Active member, minimum 200.
Yeah. So on an annualized basis, it's $141,000. There's the fee itself. Right now, we charge a fee for each. The way the fee works is minimum of $150, and there's a $750 per member. We're changing that to $10 for active member, and we're charging a $5 fee for inactive member. In addition, each financial institution that wants to hold locked-in funds from a pension plan. So when a member leaves a pension plan, they have an option to take their money out of the pension plan and transfer it to a locked-in account with a financial institution. Each financial institution that wants to hold and administer those locked-in funds has to comply with the standards of the legislation and the directives of the superintendent. So they must file a contract with us to verify that they're going to follow the locking-in rules of the legislation and abide by the conditions of the legislation. So what we're doing, we're implementing a new fee, so each financial institution that wants to maintain those locked-in contracts will be charged an annual fee of $500 per year. And that's anticipated to bring in about $30,000 a year.
Oh, $30,000, okay.
Yeah. All right. So it's about 60 financial institutions that and $500 per year. Okay. And that's basically to cover the cost of us reviewing those contracts. Yeah,
so I was just wondering what the revenue would be on something like that, how much money would you generate from the increases. Yeah. So it's about, okay, perfect. The other question I got to ask, and you know, we know all look at news lately, and we hear a lot about exit on the rock and real estate agents and everything else. And I understand, and I don't understand a lot, if I tell you the truth, but when I look at it on TV and stuff like that. But the real estate fees, how does that work, you know, and what is there anything we got in place that protects real estate agents and stuff like that in place? Just a general question. And
it's Julian McCarthy again. So from the fee perspective, there's a license fee. It's a one-time license, but then they have to renew and send in a return in each year to maintain that license, and that's the fee that we're charging. We're charging to individual salespeople, and in addition to the agents or the companies that sponsor those salespeople, we charge a fee for that too, and they also have a license fee. So that's done. With regards to the legislation itself, I mean, it's intended to protect the consumers who are making offers on real estate. So, for example, if you offer to put in an offer to purchase a house and there's a requirement to put a deposit down, then we're protecting those deposits by requiring them to be in trust. So it's to protect protect the individuals who are involved in the real estate industry as more so than protecting the salespeople themselves.
So these increase in fees are nothing to do with legislation, it's just an increase, and we're continuing to do the same thing as we always did with industry.
Yes, the increase is basically more along the lines to try to cost recover the cost of actually regulating the industry.
Right. And that's going to – so the agent is basically the person that probably owns the company or something like that, and the person's a salesperson. What's the difference?
So the salesperson, the individual salesperson who actually goes out and – you know, and makes the sale. The agent is a representative of the company, and every salesperson has to be sponsored by an agent. So an agent has a lot more experience. Okay. Usually, they don't necessarily have to be the owner of the company, but they are the sponsor for that company. And each salesperson has to be sponsored by an agent.
Okay. No, that's good. That's good. Thank you. Just looking here at inspection fees, and they're increased by 20%. How much revenue is that going to generate? I'm just looking at the lines here and the sheet here. Did I get them? Boilers, pressure.
Lee Puttister. So I guess we've got a number of different categories of fees there.
So 120, it says that a registered inspection fees, museum rides. Yeah. From boilers, I guess it's a bit of everything there.
So I guess in terms of electrical fees, that will generate approximately $350,000 of incremental revenue. Boiler and pressure vessel and related fees is about another $260,000.
Okay.
So those are the fee increases associated with most of the inspection-related items.
Okay. Would you be able to get a list of that, the 120? Would it be a list that we could see what the fees are?
We can certainly get you a copy of the fees and the increases. Yeah.
No, I'd just like to see what they all are. I mean, you're talking from amusement rides to boilers and pressure gauges. And
we'll
really appreciate it. Thank you.
I think they're actually on the website. If they're not there now, they would be very shortly.
Okay. We'll have a look at it. Yeah. That's perfect. I'm just looking at some of the other increases, and I mean, they're they're minor, and time when we need a few dollars, just not, I got no problem with the birth certificate and marriage certificates and stuff like that. The legal name change has gone from 25 to 100. That seems like it's the most among all of them. Is there any reason for that? Is there?
I'd ask Donna Kellen, the ADM, to speak to that.
Donna Kellen. There's a fair bit of work actually involved with doing a legal name change. Well, we want to make sure it's not a, I would say, a happenstance event. So rather than have people coming forward that, you know, we really want to be serious about them changing their name, but there is a lot of work involved in actually doing the name changes. They have to be published, that type of thing. So when we reviewed it, we felt that it was justified in terms of the amount of work involved.
Okay. Minister, the motor registration piece of legislation you brought in earlier with 5 years gone to 10 years for your, I think it's a great idea. I look at the motor registration division, travel in there a good bit myself, and get whatever trailer got to be licensed or whatever you got to do, we're all in there. But I'm just hoping that there'll be no reductions in staff, because I know most of the weight that I had in there in the past, I'll just make a general comment, was that, you know, people are waiting in there for 2 and 3 hours, and I don't know, how has it improved since the people don't need to go get there and they can do it online?
I think 25, I am, and hold the numbers, over 25,000 after going through it now with the online, and with the every 10 years for the pitcher, that's going to save another 30,000, 25,000, 30,000. So yeah, we could actually see kind of the wait list getting shorter and shorter at the vehicles, because there's more and more online, less and less going, have to get their picture taken. Yeah. The effect is not as real now, but over time, as people got to go and once they get it, we have to come back for 10 years, and more people are using the online services now for registration also. So that's helped a lot. There's a few other initiatives that we got coming down that we're hoping that will by the fall, that will have a major impact on the wait time and the increase in the decrease in the wait times for people at the motor registration vehicles service.
Okay, thanks. I'm looking at most of the increases and like, you know, trailers and stuff like that. Taxi registration's gone up a little small bit, and I know that I spoke to a gentleman actually the weekend that is pretty concerned with the price of gas and everything gone up, that I wasn't sure if it's something we should be looking at to give anyone a break, but they're going to be feeling the brunt of, which are all small business, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. That's only minimum, but still.
One of the biggest things that I've been speaking to with taxi owners and people who own stands is the actual cost of insurance that goes through PUB, that's a major concern for them also.
Everything.
It goes through PUB with the insurance, and it's after gone up 50% last year, and then it's gone again to the PUB for another review. That's a major concern also. And like I told a lot of people, it's out of our hands. It's up to the PUB, but it is all this to add up to the taxi industry.
I spoke to a couple of weekend, told me about it. That's just an observation again. Driver's license renewal for seniors. So, again, it's one of those things that plays a little bit on me all the time. As you know, when I get up, I speak passionate about seniors and people in my district and stuff like this. Again, that's an increase to our most vulnerable again. But
Just for correction, there's no increase for seniors this year in this budget for a driver's license or a motor registration.
Okay, it says here on driver's license renewal, 100 to 65 for seniors, and then the next line says 125 to 115, and online is staying the same.
Online is staying the same.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
But there is an increase in...
No.
No?
No, there's no increase to seniors whatsoever.
Oh, okay. I misread that. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I thank the staff for. That's one thing.
That's a good thing.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
That's basically it. And like I said, most of the increases are justified. I mean, you got to make a bit of revenue. But what's the overall revenue that you're hoping to obtain by with these increases from motor?
Just motor registration is about $8.2 million.
$8.2 million?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's the general questions that I have. Now, Mr. Chair, I'm going to go into section 101. And again, I'm going to go to, and I know that most of the answers are going to be similar, but I'm going to go into ask questions on the salaries there. And if you'd like to explain, last year was budgeted at, and then we had a huge increase, and we're again this year a little bit higher.
Okay.
Lee Puddister. So the increase last year in revised versus budget was mainly due to a paid leave payout to the executive assistant to the former minister, and that was offset partially by the minister being paid by a different department. So ServiceNL has shared a minister with the other departments did so last year and continue to do so this year, a different department. But so last year the minister was actually paid it from, I believe, Environment and Conservation. And so this year it's the Municipal Affairs and ServiceNL are splitting those.
Okay, and that's the reason why it was 153. Last year was basically the same thing, where you had the minister was in Environment, and so that's okay. All right, yeah. Okay. I'll go to Transportation Communications again. A little bit difference in that line, if you'd like to explain that to me.
Yeah, so the decrease last year, 15,000 versus a budget of 39,000, was primarily due to, again, having a shared minister. And with the timing of the election and the minister's home district and things, the transportation requirements were just less than anticipated. That varies from year to year, depending on the files that we're dealing with the travel requirements, and obviously, last year, again, with the timing of the election, that certainly contributed to it. So we are anticipating still spending less than the budget for 15-16, but we anticipate that it will be slightly more than last year.
So the minister's going to stay in St. John's more. Anyway, I want to go to the next line is purchase services. And last year we had budgeted for 18,000, but we only spent 1,000. And this year we only got 3,000, sir. So.
Yep. Okay. Obviously a significant decrease. The needs for purchase services can vary annually, again, depending on what initiatives were or what issues we're dealing with in the department. We don't spend that money if we don't need to, and last year was one of those years when we were able to deal with the requirements without significant expenditure. And although there's a slight increase planned for 16-17 versus spend, it's obviously down significantly from the previous year's budget. So again, that's to help us deal with the current fiscal situation facing the province, and as well just anticipated lower than historical requirements in that line item. But again, I would caution that it does vary from year to year, so it's hard to have precision as to what the needs will be.
Okay, well, that's good. Going to section 1201, and salaries are pretty consistent there, but I'll go to Transportation Communications again. And again, we had budgeted a lot more than what we actually spent, and this year a little bit less again.
Yep. Transportation and communication varies annually, again, depending on what initiatives we're involved with. So just lower than anticipated requirements, as well as, efforts by the executive group to try and minimize any travel that wasn't absolutely necessary, again, given the fiscal situation that we were dealing with last year. And a similar situation for the upcoming year, just trying to do more with less.
Okay. And purchase services. Last year we had 19.7. This year we got a lot, but we spent, what services were there?
The primary increase last year to $30,000 from a budget of $19.7 was simply an allocation issue. We had new leases or new arrangements for photocopying and printing. So those bills were aggregated underneath this account code. Previously, they would have been spread out amongst some of the other divisions that you're seeing there, but they were aggregated into this one. That explains the difference primarily. And then this year, we're just, again, trying to deal with the current fiscal situation and anticipate trying to spend less across the board.
And again, I'm going to ask this question every time about revenue. I'd like to know where the money's coming from and where we're getting it to and where we're getting revenue to.
Yep. So revenue in this case is reimbursement for executive salaries related to Workplace NL. So as you know, Workplace NL falls underneath the minister portion of executive. So we have an assistant deputy minister responsible for occupational health and safety. That was previously Kim Dunphy. Kim retired last year. Julian is actually acting in that capacity now while we try and fill that position. That salary is entirely recovered through billings to Workplace NL, as well as a portion of the deputy minister's salary, some secretarial salary, communication salary, a portion of our financial or controller's salary. So in total, approximately $1 million or so is recovered from Workplace NL to deal with that.
That's good. Okay, I'm going to move on to section 1202. And this section, just looking at the operating accounts and property furnishing and equipment, what is the budget increase this year? What's the increase for that?
So this account is almost exclusively around vehicles for the department. We have a fairly large fleet, given the number of inspectors that we have around the province and the number of office locations that we have. So this amount deals with capital to purchase new vehicles. So you're seeing the increase for next year. We have a larger number of vehicles that are due for replacement. Obviously, it's important. We try not to purchase any vehicles unless we have to, but the existing fleet reaches a point where the maintenance expenditures and sometimes, you know, the safety of operating those vehicles dictate that we purchase new ones to replace those. So that accounts for the budget for next year to replace some vehicles, both within Service NL's, within Occupational Health and Safety Branch. Again, those vehicle costs are completely recovered by workplace billing to Workplace NL, and then also within the rest of Service NL.
Okay. Again, the revenue line. And you look at the revenue line, budget was only $25,000, $39,000, and now $160,000.
So. Yep. So that was we had anticipated only needing to replace one vehicle within the Occupational Health and Safety Branch. We ended up replacing two, but again, all of those expenditures are billed back to Workplace NL. So you're seeing there the recovery of two vehicle purchase versus a budget of one vehicle purchase, and you can see for next year, $160,000. That's because we've anticipated purchasing five vehicles for Occupational Health and Safety.
Okay. I was looking at 160 when you said two vehicles. I was wondering what you were driving. Okay. Do you want to do that section first, Mr. Chair?
No, we'll carry on.
Will I continue? Just keep going?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you. Okay, we're going to go to section 2101, Consumer Affairs. And again, I want to look at the salaries and revised last year versus. And I'm assuming that there was a couple of people that left, or I'm not sure. You can explain it to me.
Okay. Yeah. And so last year we had two individuals retire, and so that dealt with the severance paid leave payouts for those individuals.
Okay.
So this year you're seeing just normal salary plan adjustments to deal with step increases, plan vacancies, things like that.
So we must have had a reduction in someone, though, from what we budgeted last year to this year. Is there a vacancy there?
Yes, we would have vacancies in that area. I think right now we've got Consumer Affairs 2 vacancies.
Okay.
So it would deal with the timing of when we anticipate filling vacancies, salaries for those individuals, things like that.
Okay. Again, underline, I know every time I'm asking, but I guess I'll continue. Transportation, communications, and just looking at the difference, budget revised, now we're going back to 24,000. Mm-hmm. So can you assume that we're... these are basically things that you went through the department and said, okay, we can save a few dollars here or there. Is that basically what you're doing here?
So most of the changes for 16-17 are exactly that. They're yeah. efforts to try and reduce expenditures to help deal with the fiscal yeah. situation. The minister and our team went through all of these on a line-by-line basis to yep. see where we could make improvements. As well, underneath this area, Consumer Affairs, we hold the residential tenancies fall underneath there. So we have travel associated with holding hearings for residential tenancies cases. Those vary from year to year depending on where they are. And obviously, if we have more outside of the St. John's area, we sometimes have to do more travel to reach those locations.
Okay. And again, I go to purchase service and looking at 20,100 and versus 35 that was revised and gone back down. What was the difference in the 15,000 extra that we spent there?
We had a one-time requirement to renovate an office. We had to move an office for security purposes. It was we needed to bring it back to provide more visibility to the waiting area around residential tenancies. So that was the cost associated with just setting up a small office internally.
Okay. And any quick explanation? I know I want to ask you again about revenue, okay? Just to explain where the revenue comes from.
Yep. So this is primarily application fees paid by applicants around residential tenancies hearings. There's fees associated with filing to have those hearings held. So they vary from year to year, again, depending on how many applications we might have. So we had a slight increase last year from what we had budgeted, and so this year we've adjusted that to reflect what we saw last year, which was also consistent with the previous year. So we think that 16,000 is a more normal level now for the types of hearings and the volume that we're seeing.
Okay. Next section I go to is 2102, and again I'm going to ask you a question about the salaries there, because looks like we've budgeted and estimates this year. What's the difference in what we actually spent last year?
So last year we had about $123,000 underspend. That was primarily related to 3 vacancies. We had a director and a manager and an investigator positions that were vacant for a portion of the year. Those positions have all been filled now. So we anticipate that we will have billings more in line with the budgeted amounts.
Okay. Just looking at professional services there, we had 10,000 budget. We only used 2,100 and 5,000. Perhaps you can just give us a quick explanation there also.
Yeah, so this is primarily fees billed by the Financial Services Appeal Board. And depending on how many appeals are brought to that board, that will impact how much we have to spend to reimburse them. So last year, we just had a smaller amount. I think we only had one appeal last year.
Okay.
Again, it varies from year to year. It's very difficult to estimate. But based on recent trends, we felt comfortable in reducing the anticipated expenditure for next year.
Okay. That's good. Okay. Moving right along. Section 2103. Have any question on the salaries? Salaries are okay. The only one is there is purchase servicing, and just a little increase. And this year we spent $7,800 last year. We had budgeted $5,000, but yet this year we're going down to $3,000. Perhaps quick explanation.
So last year there was a national conference for pension regulators that was actually held in Newfoundland and Labrador. That moves around every year. Last year was our turn to host, so we had a little bit more money there associated with hosting those individuals. Next year it's somewhere else, so we won't have those expenses. So that combined with general efforts to reduce expenditures to deal with the fiscal situation.
Okay, that's an excellent. Okay, in section 2104, I want to ask you a question about the salaries. And it looks like there must have been some positions that were either vacant and now filled, or?
Correct. So commercial registrations, we have a pool of clerks that deal with the registry of deeds and corporations. So that area experiences a fairly high turnover. And so what you're seeing there predominantly is the impact of how long it takes us to fill a position once we get a vacancy, to go through the competition of posting those and filling the vacancies. So that deals primarily with why you saw an underexpend last year. We're anticipating that, you know, we will be able to keep those positions filled for this year and budgeted accordingly.
And transportation communication line, last year we had 80,000, which we spent 115. And I'll work back to 80 again this year. Maybe you can explain to.
Yeah, so last year we had a larger than expected expense related to postage. We're still trying to understand what happened there to result in that increase. Part of it may have been related to just volumes related to mailing out of registration documents. But we deal with the mailroom at Transportation and Work, so we're trying to get an assessment of that. We think it was a one-time item. We don't anticipate that we'll have that again.
A lot of postage for $30,000, huh?
You know, we do deal, I mean, we handle 80,000 transactions a year at the Registry of Deeds, most of which require mail-outs documents to verify that deeds have been registered, things like that. But you know, it obviously is somewhere that we're trying to ensure we don't have that again.
Is there a way to improve that system? You know, today it's we're dealing a lot today with emails and whatnot. So you know, while we're spending money on something like that, is there any improvements you can?
With the deeds portion specifically, we're trying to encourage registration of those documents online. We have that capability. A lot of those documents are put forward by law firms. So we've been working with all of the law firms to try and get them to convert to submitting their documents electronically, because it is much quicker for us to deal with, and it knocks a significant amount of time off of our processing. So I think right now we're up to just over 50% or so is online, and we'd obviously like to make it 100%, but we're kind of at the mercy of the law firms to convert. So we are offering free training seminars to law firms on an individual basis to help try and get them to switch over. So
okay.
We're working on it.
Okay, motor registration.
Section
3101. Want to look at the salaries here, what we budgeted last year and then the revised, and what we're actually budgeting this year to increase. Do you want to explain that?
Yep. So what you saw last year, we had a slight decrease, which was just due to staff turnover and the temporary vacancies, just timing issues related to the filling of those positions. And again, for next year, you're seeing a very slight increase there's about $6,600 relating to the JES changes to budgets. So there's a slight increase there for this division. And that's offset by about $5,000 just relating to normal salary plan adjustments to timing delays, overtime requirements, things like that.
Okay. And the supply line, supplies, huge difference. 215 budgeted, 75 and now 214.
Yep. So last year we had a couple of large amounts for prior year invoices that didn't get paid until 15-16. That primarily related to fuel for highway enforcement vehicles and costs for uniforms and personal protective equipment that were required under the collective agreement. So that's accounting for about $135,000 or so of the increase. And then the extra was just a variety of items underneath the supplies budget, office supplies. We use specialized envelopes for mail-out of motor registration documents. We had toner expenses related to the specialized machines for printing driver's licenses and things like that. So we had a bit of a combination of one-time items there, in addition to those two amounts for prior year invoices.
So wouldn't those uniforms and everything have to be continued every year, or is it?
So they're a bit lumpy, so the timing of when we may have to buy new uniforms or when we may replenish the toner amounts will vary from year to year. So we've struggled with this account a little bit in recent years to try and get it to reflect the actual amounts that have been purchased. I think, you know, we're given the fiscal environment, we're trying to just find ways to make do with the budget that we had there historically. Okay. And we don't anticipate those one-time, the late invoices that are obviously not going to reoccur. Okay.
What grants and subsidies are you talking about on this line?
So the grants and subsidies, I'm going to ask Donna to give the detail on those.
Donna Kelland. There's a grant that we give to Safety Services Newfoundland and Labrador for their bicycle helmet safety program. That's around $10,000. Okay. A lot of what else is in that account is various memberships in national and international motor vehicle associations. So the Canadian Council for Motor Transport Administrators, which is all the regulators across the country. We're also a member of the American Motor Vehicle Association, and so there are other fees. We're part of a Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance program where our inspectors are certified to be able to conduct inspections of, you know, large commercial vehicles, and so there are fees associated with maintaining those certifications. So most of it is it's really membership type of dues and transactional type of fees.
Okay. All right. Just questions. Okay. Okay. Under the property and furnishing, there's a difference there of $60,000 from what was budgeted last year and what was actually spent. What, could you explain that to me?
Yep. So we had to, we have a ticketing system. If you're familiar with the office in Mount Pearl, when you go in, you used to take a ticket and wait for the number to be called at the wickets. So that system was quite old, and it ended up failing last year. So we had to purchase a new replacement system for that. We're quite excited by that system. It's in place, up and running now, and it's going to provide us with a lot more visibility into wait times and staff productivity, and help us actually dynamically adjust what wickets are serving which types of activities to help reduce wait time. So that's one of the initiatives the minister mentioned we're employing that will hopefully start to see some improvements in wait times.
I used to always wonder, when you go in there sometimes and you'd have D8 and then E4 or 5 would get called, and when you're still there, you're D9. And you had to wait all the time, but I didn't understand. So that's what's the reason for that? Why is
that's just different categories? Bingo. So no.
Was it?
That was bingo. Motor vehicle bingo. No. So I guess it would depend on the transaction. So if you were there for a vehicle renewal, a driver's license renewal, to acquire a driver's license for the first time, if you were there to deal with a commercial registration. The codes would depend on what you were there for.
What you're there for, okay.
Yeah. So we know, for example, the average length of time it takes to do those different transactions. A vehicle registration renewal is much quicker than issuing somebody a driver's license for the first time. So we can adjust the number of people now with this new system to be able to help to deal with some of those pressures to try and equalize some of the wait times.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so we're finished that now. Okay. Well, section 3102. Again, I'm going to go to the salaries, and if you can explain the changes and the variances there.
Okay. So the reduction last year was, again, just primarily related to some staff turnover and temporary vacancies related to that turnover. In addition, we had we were undertaking some activity to look at combining the weigh scale operating positions and the highway enforcement officer positions. So some of those vacancies were held depending on the combination that was going to be held with the highway enforcement officer position. So just kind of business as usual items there, timing issues. What you're seeing there for next year, it's down $110,000 versus the previous year. There was a $20,000 increase related to JES in there. That was offset by about $131,000 decrease related to attrition, step increases, things like that.
General question here, Mr. I know that in our travel highway lap, we all do. Is there any emphasis on, like, you know, what we're doing for inspections on the highway? It's like I don't see as many as what you used to one time. You'd see, you know, your highway enforcement hauling some trucks and stuff like that. And I don't see it as much as I used to. So is there anything that, you know?
There's no decrease at all?
Is it something that we're going to be looking at doing more of, or is it for safety on our highways? It seems like lately the few accidents that I've noticed lately, there's little what's happening on the highway.
I think the minister is going to take that question.
Oh, okay. No, there's been no decrease whatsoever in that. And I guess the highway enforcement is still up and running, and there's still a lot of initiatives with law enforcement, RCMP, constabulary across the province. There's been no decrease in that whatsoever. Absolutely not.
Okay. Let's go to transportation communications here. And just now, I know it's not a big lot of difference, but we had budget 125, and we're down to 110, and we spent 115.
Lee Puttister. Yes, so that's just efforts to try and reduce expenditures given the fiscal environment, and same for next year.
Okay. If you want to, you can go to the next line on supplies. Mm-hmm. And again, 18,500.
Yep.
And why was the increase from last year, which was 5,000, this year's only 3,500?
Right. So we had a one-time increase related to the purchase of some personal protective equipment for weigh scale inspectors, specifically Kevlar vests. Again, you mentioned the highway enforcement officers, and these individuals are stopping commercial vehicles on the highways. And I guess in our environment now, there's some concern over you never know who's going to be in those vehicles or what they might be transporting. So we did a review, and based on, you know, our responsibilities for occupational health and safety, we felt it was appropriate that we be equipping those individuals with vests to help protect them in the hopefully very unlikely event they should ever encounter trouble when they're their stops.
Also, like, you know, I know that under transportation, new regulations came in with safety on the highway when the number of people and the pylons and everything else when you haul in a vehicle. Has this increased in under safety aspect to the number of people? Say if you're going to haul in a vehicle to the side road, or whether there's one or two people, or does it make any difference, or has that changed in any way? Okay.
I think Donna Kellen can give some specifics.
Donna Kelland, we've undertaken an extensive review of our safe work practices and the hazards associated with individual types of activities. So there are rules and procedures for all of our inspectors now in terms of how they set up for a roadside inspection, whether or not there's one or two officers involved, the callback arrangements that they have, you know, to avoid getting into trouble, that type of thing. So we've done quite an extensive review and done a number of safe work practices in that area. Okay. Does that answer your
question? Yeah, it does. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Just want to ask about the allowances and assistance in Lander, $25,000. Where did this money go to last year?
Lee Puttister. So that was a related to a settlement with a, an employee in accordance with the collective agreement.
Okay. Section 3103. And again, I want to look at salaries again. And if you could just explain the salaries.
So again, similar answer. The decrease of $116,000 last year was just higher than normal turnover in staff activity, and then the amount of time it takes to fill those vacancies. The next year, the decrease of $136,000. Again, we had a small increase, about $6,600 for JES, and then $142,000 in reductions, again, related to attrition, salary plan adjustments, things like that.
Okay, that's good. Under employee benefits there, last year we budgeted 9, revised 34, this year 33. What's the difference? What's the increase? Why did it increase over last year, what we budgeted?
So in this area, this was related to workers' compensation costs. So we've, I guess, got situations where we've got some employees who are incurring those or dealing with those types of workers' comp cases. They vary from year to year, very difficult to predict. But I guess next year we've now adjusted that accordingly, just in anticipation of the number of people who are dealing with those issues and how long they take to get resolved.
Okay. And on the supply line there, again, is another, looks like we spent a lot of money on different things last year when it comes to supplies. Again, it's an increase of what was actually budgeted and revised, and we're going.
Yep. So last year we had an increase of $92,000 roughly. This is primarily related to the purchase of license plates for the motor vehicle division. And so, those purchases are a bit lumpy when they occur. But we have seen increased numbers of vehicles in recent years. I think over the last 4 years, our vehicles are up, about 25% increase in the number of vehicles that we're registering. So this is just a deal with the purchase of license plates for a variety. And again, you know, we've got different ones for commercial vehicles, passenger vehicles, ATVs, things like that.
So we're not planning on buying any more license plates this year compared to what we did last year? Or?
So you've seen a slight increase in the budget year over year. But again, based on the timing of those, we're okay. We're not anticipating the same types of expenditures.
Okay. And the purchase services. So we revised it last year down a couple of $100,000 there, and this year we're gone. What's the difference in the line there? What was actually budgeted?
Yep. Okay. So we had a decrease last year of $225,000 or so over what was budgeted. That was due in part to a credit on expenditures for the driver's license photo ID system that we have. We share that with the other three Atlantic provinces. So we reached a period associated with that contract where the supplier had recovered the upfront cost. So we saw a reduction in the amount that we paid per transaction. You saw a credit there for some of those expenditures associated with that. The change for next year is you're seeing a slight increase there. We do, that contract is expiring, and we are anticipating a slight increase to deal with the timing to extend that contract for a little bit of time to align with the other Atlantic provinces. So that's why you're essentially seeing the okay. difference from this year okay. to last year.
What did we spend $9,500 on professional services last year?
So related to that same contract, the four Atlantic provinces hired a consultant okay. to help us with the develop the RFP and to do an assessment of the needs of the four provinces.
Okay. Let's go to the next section, 3104. Again, look at the salary line there. And what we budgeted was revised a little less, and I'm assuming it's going to be basically the same answer there again for attrition, and there's no vacancies there or anything, is there?
Well, we would generally have vacancies. Again, they'll just depend on the timing of you know when people move around in those. But obviously, you know, we try and deal with those vacancies as quickly as possible. What we do deal with delays in how long it takes to get those positions filled. But the answer is the same as in the previous.
Okay. No, that's okay. I got to ask a question, but I'll just kind of anticipate the answer.
Okay.
And the supply line, again, we're obviously spent a lot more than what we had budgeted. And, again, are we being realistic about what we're doing this year?
So last
supplies,
year,
we had 12,200 budget for last year, and we spent 32, and yet we're only going to be 7 this year.
So last year, this was related to that the Kevlar vests we mentioned, that the expenditure for those vests was split between these two activity okay. codes. So again, that was a one-time item with last year. And so for next year, again, we're just trying to try and make do with a little less money given the fiscal situation.
Okay. And under professional or purchase services, we budgeted 94, and now we got 45 spent, and we're back to 9. What was the?
So we had some unanticipated vehicle maintenance in the first half of the year before we replaced some of those older vehicles. As well, we had some additional cost to install some specialized rooftop safety lighting systems and striping on the highway enforcement vehicles. That tends to go along with when we replace certain types of those vehicles, but it's a one-time expenditure.
Again, I'm going to ask a question. I know it's federal there for revenue. Mm-hmm. What money is what's that generated from?
I'm going to ask Donna Kellen to give you some details on that.
Donna Kellen. So that's a national road safety agreement that we have with the federal government. All the provinces and territories, or most of the territories of Canada, have with the federal government to conduct national road safety inspections type of functions. So we'll do the on-road inspections that you see occasionally. But we also do a lot of inspections at what we call carriers, so companies that have a lot of trucks in their fleet. We'll go to their site and do a number of inspections at random on those trucks to make sure they're safe. So the federal government compensates us for doing a certain number of those inspections every year, and the amount that we get is roughly based on the population percentage that we are.
Okay, we'll go to section 3201. And again, we got a... not a big lot, but the salary line there is, do a brief explanation there.
Very similar explanation, just had some vacancies, and for next year, you know, some increases in, were associated with JES offset by some adjustments for salary plan.
Okay, unemployment benefits there, there's 13,600 that was revised last year versus 3,600 and 35 this year. What's the difference?
Yeah, so that again was related to workers' compensation costs, okay. And I guess next year we're not anticipating incurring that same level of expense. Although again, I'd caution that it's difficult to predict that from year to year.
Okay, and I'll go to line transportation communications, and I guess this is just going through the line items again and finding savings.
Correct, for next year. Yeah. The savings for this current year were more due because some of the vacancies, we didn't incur some of the travel expenses that we'd normally have with those positions.
Okay. Why purchase services, although it's down a little bit, you're anticipating lower again this year for as what we budget?
Yeah, this is primarily related to leases for various government service center locations around the province. So that would just be some anticipated reductions in lease costs associated with some renewals that we do.
Okay. And just professional services to share only $5,000, yet we budget $15,000 and we spent $10,000.
So this would vary from year to year depending on the need for hiring external expertise associated with public safety investigations or for advisory board and tribunal hearings. So, again, it'll vary from year to year.
Okay, I'm going to go to the revenue line. Just ask you to give me a quick explanation of that also. We're anticipating a good bit of extra revenue this year, too, a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Yep. So the revenue relates primarily to fees that we charge for buildings accessibility plan reviews, fire and safety plan reviews, the registration and inspection of boiler and pressure vessels. So you're seeing just the activity that's going on related to those items.
Okay. I got the salary line marked down here, but I'm not going to ask you it, okay? So I know I'm going to get the same answer. Anyway, that's okay. Under supplies, again, small variance. I guess we're just saving a few dollars and looking at different ways to find.
Just to clarify, are you on regional services now, 3.2?
Oh, I'm sorry. 2. I didn't say that section yet. Section 3202.
Yeah, so that's just an effort to try and deal with the fiscal situation.
Okay. And, again, you know I'm going to ask you the revenue line.
So that revenue relates mainly to electrical permits. So you're just seeing the activity that associated with electrical permits there.
There's a huge increase there.
That deals with the fee increases for
electrical
permits.
Okay, so that's
permits.
Basically there. That's where we see the fee increase. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Moving right along. 3301, vital statistics. Salary is basically the same. I know that's going to be the same. But under supplies, there again, it's just another increase in the supplies. So.
Yeah, so we just had a slight increase. That'll vary from year to year. Not anticipating that that will occur again next year.
Okay. And purchase servicing, we spent a lot more, but we're back to budget now again this year. What's the difference there?
So last year, the paper stock that we use for birth and marriage certificates is that specialized Mylar paper. So we had an increase in the printing requirements for that for about $5,000, which we hadn't seen there. But again, depending on the timing of when we make those orders and how many requests we have for documents, that'll vary a little bit from year to year. So yeah. We're anticipating next year will be a bit more of a norm.
Cost that stuff varies so much too, especially with different stocks and paper and stuff like that. Know a lot about it. Okay, I'm going to just go right to the revenue line there too. And again, just a quick explanation of where the revenue comes from.
Okay. I'm going to ask Donna Kellen to answer that.
Donna Kellen. So the federal revenue comes from reimbursement that the federal government gives us for data coming from the Vital Statistics Registry, so births and deaths primarily. They pay us on a per transaction basis for that information. That would mostly go to Statistics Canada and Service Canada. Provincial revenues are fees for birth certificates and other transactions that we do for individuals within the province.
Yep. Like I said, you got you from birth to death. And next section, Queen's Printer. Purchase services. Again, And we budgeted for 30,000, yet we only went 10.5 and this year 15. Just explain that to me, please.
So purchase services in this line relate primarily to the we have requirements. We need to print the statutes. We have to send those out to be printed. We're not able to deal with the binding requirements, I think, of those documents in-house.
So depending on the number that we may have to print or things, that will affect that. And as well, we do have some equipment costs in there, so it depends on when we have to replace that miscellaneous equipment. That's not the big equipment, but we do have some elements related to the Queen's printer in there as well. But overall, you know, obviously we didn't spend as much last year. We're anticipating having to spend a little bit more next year than we actually spent this year, but still down versus previous year's budget.
Again, I'll go to the revenue line just for an explanation.
So this is the revenue related to the bookstore sales for the Queen's printer. So if you come in to purchase copies of any of the statutes and documents and things like that, so that will vary. We did have a slight increase last year. There was a fee increase that went forward last year. For fees for the Gazette as well, which is subscribed to by various law firms and others. So we're anticipating next year we'll be down a little bit versus actuals this year, but still in the ballpark.
Okay, that's good. We'll go to section 3303. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to just employee benefits there, $3,400 spent on. And why is there nothing forecast for this year?
So this was, again, related to workers' compensation. I guess historically we've not had significant costs associated with those expenditures. So we did have some items last year, but we're not anticipating that we'll see that again. Again, it's difficult to predict from year to year. But
okay. And on the supply line, you're looking at savings of almost, I think it's around $50,000. Where are you going to achieve this to this year?
Donna, do you want to take that one?
Donna Kelland. You'll notice that there's a bit of a rebalancing there between supplies and purchase services.
Yep.
Historically, we've charged to one account where we should have been charging to the other, so we're just trying to bring that more into line with where the expenditures should actually be. So supplies would be things like our actual paper stock and things like that. But purchase services are the actual printing charges on the big machines that we have downstairs. So it's just trying to rebalance those costs a bit into the proper line items.
We're looking now at purchase services. Okay, so that's the difference between two of those. So a general question for you now, and they always used to have a problem downstairs with humidity. Used to be a huge problem. Have they done anything downstairs with the, because the machines, I know this from my past life, and they used to have a major issue down there when a certain time of the year when there used to be water on the floor, and they were always looking to put in like a dehumidifiers and stuff like that, so we even brought them in with the machines when we were working on them, because that's what I used to do. And I'm just wondering what improvements have been done down there. It was a major issue. It was really huge.
Ask Donna to take that as well.
That's just a general question. I don't need to put you on the spot or anything.
Donna Kelland, I could say something about the three floods that we've had down there in the last 3 or 4 years. But other than that, no, I think things have improved a fair bit. Maybe more of a question for Transportation and Works, but they do their best to try and control those because, you know, the machines that we have down there are sensitive to humidity,
very
as you
sensitive.
Know. So we've had a fair bit of improvement in the machinery stock over the last 2 or 3 years, in part as a result of a couple of those floods. But I think it's fair to say that I don't think there's any water on the floor down there anymore.
One time you could go in there and it was wicked, unreal. I used to hate when I walked in, I knew what the problem was.
Isn't it those days, by the way, you were down there.
Okay, Lou, we'll go to section 4101. And, now there was I'm going to get you to explain the salary one this time.
because there is quite a discrepancy in what's revised, budgeted and estimated. So if you could just go through from please.
Yeah, Lee Pottister. So there was a fairly large underspend last year. That's not been inconsistent with some prior years. It's a result of, again, multiple vacancies. Those were due to normal staff turnover arrangements, plus some positions that we have that are hard to fill. They require some specialized industry or sector experience related to occupational health and safety. And locations that have been difficult to fill. For example, in Labrador, we've had some chronic vacancies in those locations. So those combinations of positions resulted in that underspend. Again, all of these costs are fully recovered from Workplace NL, so it has no net effect on government's bottom line. Okay. What you're seeing next year is a decrease of about $700,000. We've gone through all of those positions now to try and right-size the budget a little bit more to reflect some of these positions that have, chronically not been able to be filled or have been filled. We're doing some reviews of some of the specific sector-related positions to determine whether we still, if those are the right sectors or whether we need to redeploy those inspectors to other ones, given the nature of the industry in Newfoundland and the current economy as well.
Okay. Line on professional services, mm-hmm. $590,000, huge difference.
Yeah, so there's from time to time, occupational health and safety will employ outside expertise on various files they're involved with. This specific situation was related to an ongoing study being done in Lab West around silicosis-related conditions of former mine workers. So that's the Lab West medical audit is specifically what this one was. So we had some billings from the prior year that were delayed and paid out in this year. This has been an ongoing. I think we're in year three now of this study. So it was just some timing issues related to when those invoices were paid.
Okay, a huge difference, and there had to be something like that.
Yeah. So you would have seen in the previous year an underspend on some of those.
That was a great program. Say to the member that your former administration brought in to help with the disease in Lab West. That was a great program, and this continues, so it's it's an ongoing effort, and I applaud the government for bringing it in, the prior government for bringing it in.
Okay. Okay. Again, I'm going to go to the revenue line. Mm-hmm. And just give us an explanation.
So essentially that what you're seeing there is an offset of the entire expenditure of that division. So again, the revenue or all of the expenses of the Occupational Health and Safety Division are recovered by billing to Workplace NL. So you're seeing it, you know, almost mirrors identically the amount of the vote. So
okay. Section 4201. Can you give me an overview of what this is all about, of the program?
Yeah. So, again, appropriations, this is an older program related to some financial assistance that is being given to the dependents of the former miners of the fluorspar mines in St. Lawrence. So this program has been in place for a number of years. I can't remember when it first started. Back in the 90s.
Okay.
So this is just payments to the surviving spouses of the mine workers.
Okay.
So every year this amount is just based on the number of individuals who are still receiving those payments, those who are still living.
All right, and the next one, I just want to go to the grants and subsidies.
again, just give me an explanation about who receives them. And
So these relate to, the grants are given to agencies that advocate and promote for occupational health and safety. So there were only two items last year. The Newfoundland Labrador Fish Harvesting Safety Association was given a grant for $5,600. And the Forestry Safety Association had a small grant of $500. So not large amounts. And so next year we are looking at a slight increase, but less than the previous year's budget, and that's to deal with the fiscal environment.
Okay. All right. All right. Section 5101. Well, salaries, I'm anticipating this. I know the answer to that one. I wanted to go to transportation and communication. And why the difference? I know we're going back, but what expenditures were there last year?
So we've moved now into the review division. So I think it's appropriate that Marlene Hickey, who's the chief commissioner for the review division, would take these questions.
Marlene Hickey, the variance in transportation has to do with the travel required out of town for workers' compensation hearings. Last year, we conducted approximately 100 hearings across the province outside the St. John's region. Each hearing costs approximately $350 in travel costs. So that number varies from year to year, depending upon the number of cases outside of St. John's. As well, we also have a staff member attend the hearings with the review commissioners for a number of reasons, safety being one. So that's the reason for the variance this year. And it was there was also a variance there last year as well in the year before. So it's something that we really have little control over as we try to provide the best services to all of the claimants.
Okay. Just wondering where we're to with hearings. Are we on, you know, is there a backlog or how is the timing, like, you know, the number of hearings that are in place right now, what people are waiting for?
Our backlog was eliminated as of November 2015. We are currently operating with 72 cases. There is no wait time. We are prepared to schedule a hearing on those cases as soon as the individuals indicate that they are ready. So generally now, if all the parties are ready, we can have a hearing scheduled within 60 days, and we hope to have decisions out in 4 to 6 weeks. So we've made great advances in the management of our caseload in the last year.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. I'm looking at, on the supply line, I guess we, there's a variance there from what we spent, and we didn't spend a lot there last year, so we must have saved a few dollars somehow on that line. Do you want to explain that?
Generally, paper is our biggest consumer of our funds. So we've made a lot of efforts to turn to electronic documents wherever we can, and we've reduced the amount of paper we've been using. So we're not sure whether or not that will carry through. So we've kept it at our budgeted amount just to see what happens.
You do get a lot of paper when you do a hearing.
we no absolutely doubt. Do produce a lot of paper.
I just want to look at purchase services. Last year, 190, and once we got back to this estimate from the budget last year, so what was the 190 difference?
The difference this year had to do with the renewal of the lease for the office space. We had some arrears payments that were paid out in this year, and the lease was renewed at a slightly higher rate. So that's the variance for that year. Our annual amount going forward is not expected to change, though, from what we have this year.
Okay. Again, I'll ask the same question I asked you about the revenue line.
The operations of the review division are 100% recoverable from the injury fund of Workplace NL.
I think that's it for the
line for line stuff. I just got one question or a couple of questions actually for the minister. And I'm just going to relate it to my own district, if that's okay with you. We're finding a lot for inspections and septic design and stuff like this. And I'm sure it's not only in my districts, a lot of districts, that there's usually a wait and a delay. I get a lot of calls, I'm sure you do, from areas that are waiting for people to do inspections. Are we doing anything to improve that?
Definitely.
No, you get the same thing I do.
Yeah, I can assure you we are, because I'm same thing has happened our way also.
Yeah.
A lot of it is when it comes in, there's a lot of times there may be an adjustment to the septic design, but there is a movement to ensure that it's done on a timely manner, and there are a lot more coming in because I know the department is enforcing a lot more, and there's a lot more actually designs compared people who are complying now are forced to comply because of it. But there is a movement afoot to ensure that the delays are minimal and everything is being done to ensure that it's done in a timely manner.
You find that sometimes, especially in home construction, people are on timelines, you know, to get it done, get closed in for the winter night, two or three occasions last year that the inspection was the real thing that held up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could be, I think, actually, it was a gentleman that was off sick or something that delayed most of it. So it seemed like we were just down to the one inspector in the area. And I know, talking to other members, that it's common in a lot of areas. And mm-hmm. It's just something I think we should be really looking at, because there is an issue out there with a lot of constituents. This is the number one call I get from anything to do with service NL.
Septic design involves not just the inspectors from Service NL, but also the designers that the homeowners have to hire. So we do have standards around the turnaround time when we receive those applications. Obviously, if we've got vacancies, you know, we may deal from time to time with difficulties in meeting those, but we certainly strive to do that. We are trying to work with the industry. Oftentimes, you know, they can assist in that process by giving us, advance notice or letting us know when things are going to need approval to line up with construction schedules as well, because we may have some flexibility to work with them. So try and work with the designers and the homeowners to ensure that, you know, we don't delay things.
Okay. It's just that it is an issue, and I'm sure you've heard lots of it and so have I, but I call the department lots of times, and thanks to you guys and everybody for helping out. But it is probably the number one thing that I find with the department. That's probably, and I don't know if it's a manpower issue or it's just, so I'm good.
Okay. So 1.1.01, Carrie. Carrie.
1.2.01. through 5.1.01 inclusive.
So 1.2.01 through 5.1.01 inclusive, carried. Carried.
The total.
Shall the total carry? Carried. Shall I report the estimates of the Department of Service Newfoundland and Labrador carried without amendment? Carried. Okay. I'll ask if there are any changes.
Quick word.
Okay.
I'd like to thank the minister and the staff for your time tonight, and very informative. And I look forward to working with you guys and ladies. And thank you for everything that you do for the people in the Flannel Labrador.
Are there any changes to the minutes circulated from the previous meeting? Okay. Move to adopt the minutes. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, everyone. The next meeting of the Government Services Committee will be on Tuesday, May 3rd at 6 p.m.
Motion to adjourn.
Right here. So, motion to adjourn. Moved? Neil. Need a second or no? Okay. Adjourn.